Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain
honey,
it.
Honey.
Did you call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
Trocheck taps it up top to D'Angelo. Right circle. Svechnikov set high slot. They score. Tony D'Angelo with a rocket top shelf. A power play goal. And the Hurricanes with a 2-0 lead. Fires left to the cage. Pastrnak centered. It goes to a Carolina stick. They'll bank it out. Trocheck near side. A backhand. He scores. Vinny Trocheck, the empty netter. 5-1 Hurricanes.
They seem to have gotten more puck luck in this building. Is that by accident? I don't know. I think they're more determined, honestly, Matt, to just get it to the net today and out Willie in front of the net. And that's where they were better than us. With, you know, that's a little bit of the formula we need with a few of our guys. Just, you know, get inside, Willie, your way to the net. Because there was some rebounds tonight at the other end. You know, we just, you know, weren't able to take advantage of a few of them.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe is a Bruins analyst for Nesson and the NHL Network. He joins us in studio this morning. And Billy,
morning.
Obviously, the officiating, not the issue last night, but throughout the league, you've got a problem with the way this has been going.
They've taken the playoffs away from us. Playoffs are always about a battle of attrition and ebbs and flows. And a lot more five-on-five hockey than playoff than power plays, penalty kills, and holy smokes, has it gotten tedious at times. And they've taken away the rhythm of the playoffs, where the stupid scrums after a while get. But it's not just that; it's the all right. You know, you got to work through that. You just can't call interference there, or you know that little the forward scrum top of mind against Max Domi. That's crap. Come on. And again, I would say the same thing if Max Domi had gotten a penalty.
It was a dumb call. And it would make me a lot more upset if I thought the team had a chance anyway.
Like, this is like, you know, the playoffs are about how do you handle the physical and the emotional, mental attrition, you know, the battle that is every game. And all we're getting right now, instead of a volley back and forth, we're getting stop, power play. And next thing you know, one team's it's happening all over the league in many of these series. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we have a lot of younger officials, and I think the league has just said, we're going by the book. And the problem is the interpretation of the book is different. Instead of saying, let them play a little bit. I don't know. I'm done ranting. We ranted last
Well, can night. I just ask you one thing about the officiating, and then we'll move on, is that, you know, we've been talking this morning about how, you know, the situation of Max Domi and Forbert yesterday. You have two guys, looks like a normal scrum, but Forbert's the one that goes in the box. That's happened twice before in Carolina in this series. What is the justification for that when you're one of these refs?
Rich, I don't know. Listen, officiating, we all know, is an interpretation of the rule book. Right? That's what it is.
But then wouldn't it be both or none?
But that's logically, for some reason, these officials are seeing it differently. I don't know if they saw the size using Forbert again. The size of Forbert, and while Derek did give him a jab, Max Domi did the same thing about 4 seconds later.
Well, Max Domi's defenseless out there. I mean,
But I don't have an answer to it because the most logical response would be both go.
Yeah.
Or none. Or you go up to him and you say, hey, guys,
cut it out.
Your warning.
Yep.
That's your warning right there. There was a play in the game last night. Who lost their helmet?
Marchand lost
his helmet.
Marchand
lost his helmet, looked down. and then had to skate off.
And you could tell, you're right, it was Marchand. The official
thank you.
Said to him, my bad. I can't, I'm no sleep
you didn't
right now.
Look at him appropriately, you looked at thank me. You. That's the problem.
And the official, you could tell, said to him, get off, don't play the puck. You could tell because Brad looked over at the official and stopped and went off. That's good officiating right there.
Yeah, there because there was writers in Carolina that were pissed that he didn't get called for that, which is funny.
Again, this is nothing to do. This is not the reason the Bruins lost last night, but we are seeing this across the league.
You're
right
saying
now.
It's ruining the playoffs for you.
It has changed the tone of what the playoffs normally are.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, to be honest, I haven't been watching the rest of the
I understand
playoffs,
that.
But I wonder if... Okay,
I can see that.
All of a sudden, I have a feeling my body's being taken over by a very large Dan Lifshatz. Do you think any of this has to do with the emergence of sports gambling?
Oh, God, no.
You don't think any of this over-officiating or anything like that?
I don't.
Okay, Dan's not allowed in for the next month and a half.
Because there's always a wrangle.
His smugness
in
his
sport, maybe not in hockey.
His superior attitude and smugness has actually rubbed off on you.
I will tell you this.
Wow.
Not that you're behaving that way. You're thinking that he is that smart.
I'm trying to think of the justification taking one of the players away. Scrum. It's
goals.
Wrangle.
If there was one game I didn't have to rig, it would be the Bruins and Rally.
One bad thing
it's tied. And then Carolina runs off three goals
on
its own.
These five games, if you really break it down, you look at them, and Johnny and I were talking in the break, like the three in Raleigh and then the two in Boston have all been the same script. I mean, almost all of them except, you know, the Bruins start well, three games in a row in Raleigh.
Yeah.
Don't get rewarded, don't handle adversity well, and the next thing you know, dunzo.
Well, you knew they were going to, as soon as Swayman let in the first goal, you're like, well, Swayman's not going to outplay their goaltender. It seems like that's not happening.
See, I don't know why that shouldn't be, not expected, but why that we'd be surprised if that happened.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, the way
you'd be surprised if what happened.
If Swayman outplayed Ronta.
Well, no, because he hadn't, because Ronta was so good in those first 5 minutes, and then Swayman turned around and let in an easy goal. And so you went, all right, well, now we don't have the goaltending advantage.
Hindsight being 20-20, yeah, you can say that. The hope was that because of what Jeremy was able to do for the two games at home, which also...
That was my hope, yes, where he outplayed him.
Had the same script at home where the Bruins didn't start well. Carolina did, but then Carolina couldn't handle adversity, and they lost their marbles at times, and they lost their structure. And it's just, it's kind of freakish how they've all five games have basically been completely the same when you mean the home... versus road thing. But
you
Antti Raanta, I'll tell you what, man, 12-2-1 now at home with a 931 save percentage. Yeah. And Freddie, I'm impressed. I did not expect him to, because he is not usually what you would call, I mean, this year he's been very good as a backup, but he, as Razor and I, Raycroft and I have talked about, he doesn't love a lot of battles around the net, and the Bruins didn't get there. His team protected him very well in that area, but what first 6 minutes, he made four legit saves that absolutely could have, but obviously didn't change the tenor of the game.
Any chance that you think Cassidy will start Ullmark in game six?
We were discussing that last night, and we were... Based on what he talked post game, no, I would say no. That it was Jeremy. It will be Jeremy Swayman's on game six.
Okay, because he wouldn't commit, but he goes, I don't think that he's done anything.
Well, yeah. And remember the first couple of games, he had more of a, you know, we needed a save, we could have used this, you know, and he was a little more direct here. He was less. He was more thoughtful. Not thoughtful. He was a little more calm.
Okay,
he's coaching post game, so I think he's going to start.
There's no advantage to Ullmark. You put Ullmark in, and you don't go, all right, well, this guy's going to catch fire, and we're going to win.
That's right.
Also,
Swayman's top game is better, and if nothing else, get the kid another playoff game experience.
He's played the last three, and he won two.
But exactly. Our point is agreeing with you in that there's. I don't even know how there could be a debate. It's not like you put. It's not like you put Ullmark in, and you go, well, now. Now things are they're steady Eddie right there. Like now things are fixed here.
What did you think
they're winning.
No, what did you think of McAvoy in his return? I mean, he did look like a guy who just came back from COVID.
He didn't look necessarily very tired.
He didn't look. He was good. 25-14. Okay. Was he regular Charlie, which is awesome. No, but the whole team wasn't. Like, the team never really, after the first six, never got flow. They never got going. Part them and part Carolina protecting, winning battles, back check battles, front of net battles a lot more. There was nowhere near as much opportunity for flow, for him to go. And you know how he can get into it and rhythm. I got to imagine that he felt a little bit off, having been off for a day and a half. It's a big, it's funny. It's 2 days is a, doesn't sound like a long time, but when you're used to the cadence and you miss the game, it can be. I would imagine, assuming L's good, that he'll be much, even he was good, but I'd even be more Charlie in game six.
And it was a big attention. You want them to chip and chase. They were having trouble doing that. They were having trouble doing everything.
They didn't get going. It looked like after a while, Fred, that you could feel that they almost knew that they didn't have it against them last night. And it happens sometimes, but the problem is now. I mean, actually, no, it is not a problem. You know you can win at home.
Yeah.
Now go home and do it. And don't even worry about having to go back to Raleigh, because if you're worrying about that, you're screwed. Let's see what happens. I'm curious. You know, we think Hampus Lindholm should play.
Yeah, were you surprised? John and I, and I don't know, Rich, but John and I were surprised that he didn't, considering he practiced. Were you surprised?
Without the red non-contact jersey on.
I thought they got the report wrong when it said that Charlie McAvoy was playing. Oh, I was like, right. Oh, you got the wrong guy.
You saw it.
And then I was like, hang on, what?
Yeah. Well, this is my guess, and it's just a guess, because, you know, we don't have my guess is that because the hit was obviously significant, it was ferocious, and if there was any form, you know, if it was deemed a concussion, there's a protocol for that, too. It's just my guess.
Yeah. So then, therefore, no one knows the protocol for the COVID.
That's true.
We've now all learned that.
That's well,
the COVID for the protocol for the COVID is a mystery wrapped in
the teams don't know the protocol for COVID.
No, they don't. They had to get a private plane for the kid.
Well, but I think with regard to Hampus, this is just my guess, is that it was deemed a concussion, so he can keep practicing, but he's got to be cleared legally. You know, there's a protocol for the NHL and the NHLPA, and the doctors aren't going to mess with that. And therefore, if he had played yesterday, again, just guessing, that would have been before the 7 days. So now tomorrow, today's 7 days. Tomorrow means he would be cleared. That's so, just the best guess I've
it's got. It's
got
to suck.
Billy guarantees that he plays in game six.
No, that's he has what, not what, done that.
No, didn't do that.
I can't think.
My hunch would be that he will play.
Okay. It's just got to suck being a player and you're coming back from a concussion and all the pressure is on you to get back and to play, especially when you know you may not be right. That's got to be a crappy spot to be in.
It's tough, but he felt great a few days ago, they said, you know, and he was skating.
But concussions are weird that way.
They are weird, I get that, but the all signs, again, because we don't have, you know,
Billy's played with so many.
My guess is that he responded right away, mm-hmm. and they're like, all right, now just get back and let's monitor you every day until we can clear you. So I'm hoping, like, obviously you get him back. Now you've got him and Charlie back for game six. Doesn't mean that that's a guarantee, but that should give you a lot better chance of being able to play. But you got to get a lead. Again, we were talking in the break. I mean, the Bruins haven't had a lead in the series.
What do you know about D'Angelo that's not out there?
I don't know, Tony, except for the fact that he is a very confident kid, I'm told. Very confident.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the stuff that Marchand's chirping him about. Like the stuff that goes around in circles.
That was the stuff that was from his days in junior hockey in the OHL, where he was suspended twice. I think one was an 8-game, and one was a 2-game suspension.
It was really vague what he was suspended for.
Right. It was talked about inappropriate behavior, which there was some reports of inappropriate comments and made to other players and
minority players. Because Marchand was calling him racist.
Well, yeah, it's minority players. That's why they asked his father about it. And his father says, I still talk like that because I'm from South Philly.
Yeah,
we know it.
I'm guessing that's what it was per other reports.
Well, they didn't ask his father if he said racist stuff out of the blue. I mean, that's not...
I don't think they said anything about racist stuff. I just think inappropriate comments, because that's how we talk.
He had the big run-in with Georgiev, the Russian goaltender from the New York Rangers that got him put on waivers and then let go by the Rangers.
And that was picking a fight with him, right?
In the walkway off, going in the tunnel, walking off the ice at Madison Square Garden, they got into a fight.
Do you know why? Why did they get in a fight?
I think something about Georgiev and a goal that went in, and he said something, and I guess all hell broke loose. And
it was enough for them to dump him.
Pissed off at him, and Jeff Gorton said, you know, that was it. He had also been scratched healthy scratch previously for two games, mm-hmm. and he did not handle that well with the team either. I guess there were some things
and
said there.
If you want to know anything about him on Twitter, he was very, very upset when Trump was banned from Twitter. He was apoplectic about it.
These are the guys. That solid individual I want leading my team.
Well, I mean, we're discussing these things racist. I mean, yeah, he did. All right, Billy Jaffe.
Real quick, Fred, if you had to guess the name of the new Rick Riley book, what would it be?
Oh, shucks, just putting.
So help me golf.
Oh, Jesus. Come on.
I just hate. You making me hate the game? You make me hate the game. Like, it's not that great, man. Is no matter what you, how hard you try, it's not
his
that
anecdotes
great.
From playing golf, or is he actually talking about other people?
Who cares?
I don't know.
Be lame.
So help me golf.
You get 3.5 hours. You go out with your friends. No one bothers you.
Man.
But I mean, why don't you just like start humping the ninth green?
Nick, looks like you're going back to the comedy club.
Ay.
Vic Riley might need to make a stand. Might need to get some excerpts from So Help Me Golf.
I love
doing it in front of a live audience.
And repetitive golf humor. Could you give me both?
It's Nick Riley. That's right. We'll have Nick Riley up there performing it.
Just repetitive golf analogies and puns and everything else. He's a real talent.
It said, from the best-selling author of Commander and Cheat and Who's Your Caddy?
Which we have, I guess, stolen.
Yeah.
Stolen from them.
Well, Who's Your Caddy was a movie.
Yeah, there was a movie with Cedric the Entertainer.
Mm-hmm. And boy, does he entertain.
It was finally someone beat Avatar in terms of box office worldwide.
By the way, the Avatar trailer played before the Universe of Madness the other day.
I've seen it.
And so, you know, I sat there. And first of all, when it comes on, I have to admit, I was like, the Avatar. Like, they've been making this movie for like 15 years or something. Like, whoa. And it comes on, and the crowd's like looking at it. And at the end of it, there's like no reaction. I can't think of a movie that's got that's made more money and has become more of a thing that nobody can name one character name in the entire film.
Exactly, exactly.
It's just it's like nobody's passionate about Avatar. Yeah. Nobody's.
I never saw it. I know it. Obviously, I'm aware of it. I never saw it. It's been on in a bar when I was in there. But you have to see it on the big. It was this James Cameron masturbatory CGI situation.
It was when 3D first became huge at the movies, and he had used all these new special effects, and where people were saying, I felt like I never wanted to leave the world of Avatar, and people would see it over and over again. But the thing is that nobody knows anything about the movie. Nobody remembers anything. I bet if I went out and I asked people to name one character from the movie, I could talk to, am I exaggerating, 100 people.
No.
And not one person. Think about it. Harry Potter.
1,000 people.
Think of the biggest movies. The biggest of all the Marvel movies. Yeah. Yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Now, if you
can
pick one off,
I'm
impressed.
10 different characters.
But no, that's right.
Avatar is the biggest movie of all time, or it used to be at least, and people can't name one character name.
Yeah. Fred, you should know who the headmaster is. Come on.
It was legitimately the biggest movie.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it might still, adjusted for inflation, be the highest grossing film of all time, but the Marvel movies, like a couple of them.
Doctor Strange has got something to say about that.
Multiverse of Madness.
Lots of madness.
All right, Billy.
Good all right, Fred.
It. Well, it looks like you're going to not have to come in for a while.
Yeah.
But
well,
nonetheless,
I hope that's wrong.
Well, I do too. I mean, it behooves all of us if the Bruins play well, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
All right, I like your positivity.
You don't think they're going to win either.
Who said that?
You.
I think they're going to put up a great effort tomorrow. It's all I care about tomorrow.
All right, very good.
And then lose game 7.
That's well, right. If you know what, maybe, but I don't. Right now, I don't care about that. I care about them getting to a game 7.
That's true. Yeah. It'd be very nice. All right.
Well, so am I, because we'll get this if it happens.
We're gonna performance just jam is on the line tomorrow. Performance is on the line.
Just jam this sucker in.
The Bruins lost, and there's no mic behind the mic tomorrow.
I know.
Which one are you rooting for, Fred, exactly?
Season. I want the Bruins to win.
The Bruins
are winning two games. This is a bonus if they don't.
Bruins losing. It's under my skin. So now it's time.
You know who wants to see him? Zolak.
We must win.
He's not going to be there.
The Bruins are hungry. They want the cup.
If they win, maybe he will be.
Score some goals. And
that would require him staying in the
suit.
Now we got to do something else.
I know.
I'm telling you, there's enough. All
we're
right.
We're going to fight. Let's
give him a show.
Mark Maron just brings out his stool and sits there for 2 hours.
Yeah, he sold four tickets.
He sold out the first show.
We gotta
all right,
beat the Hurricane.
Billy Jabby, thank you so much, sir. We appreciate it.
Brad Marchand. We gotta beat the Hurricane.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ursay just bought, I think, the Cobain guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I am to believe, and this could be wrong, but it certainly is, if not one, two or three. The most expensive guitar ever sold was the guitar Cobain played at during the Unplugged. Because he died right after that. And the one that Ursay bought was a mere $200,000, which has got me thinking it can't be anything that special.
I am really excited because Jim Ursay is taking all of his stuff on the road. And yes, if he comes to Boston, you know he would come on the show.
I want to know what he's bought but doesn't talk about. Like, for instance, like, you know,
the Necronomicon?
Well, that'd be fantastic.
The Book of the Damned?
If he was like, I bought Aleister Crowley's Castle. No, but if he was like, I bought, like, Huey Lewis's bass player's, like, cigarette holder.
Right. The saxophone player's spittoon.
Yeah, like, I bought, like, well, Men at Work are a good band. If I, like, I bought, you know, hey man, I bought Molly Hatchet's the pen that they used to draw the first album cover.
All right. Dan is saying, by the way, the guitar, the Cobain one you're talking about, went for $6 million.
Mike was just kind of scrolling through, and he's like, there's a Hendrix, you know, the 68, whatever.
Is it the most expensive guitar ever sold?
It's looking like it because it was a John Lennon one. He's like, wow, look at the John Lennon one for $2.5 million. Yeah. And all of a sudden he goes, whoa, that Cobain one went for $6
million. Yeah, Lennon died too late. He didn't pull the trigger himself.
What about the guitar that was fake played by the dude from Crazy Town when they played Ozfest?
Or the one that the guy from Linkin Park was incredulous that we asked if he really played. The rapper guy. Casey, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I just wanted to say two things. One about Devers hitting the salami. Send a salami to a boy in the army.
Skaboom! My fast souvenir for fan.
And also, the number one song that we have to hear from Mike behind the mic is Craigslist Killer. Can we please make that happen tomorrow night?
I'm for that. I mean,
he's the Craigslist Killer.
It might be funnier because it grooves a little bit more than octuplets. What song is Octuplets 2?
It is a song from Annie.
Okay.
And I don't quite know what it is.
It's just kind of like an accordion and a tuba like situation. Yeah.
That's the one where he goes,
little kids, everywhere I turn.
That captures Mike behind the mic. It's his essence, okay, that song.
But I will tell you one thing that I have learned is that if he did that in studio, it would be really funny because the weird pauses. but maybe in front of like a big crowd, like because it's more upbeat, Craigslist Killer might be the one.
Well, would you want him to perform it even if he doesn't do Brad Marchand, We Gotta Beat the Hurricanes?
I mean, we could have it there if, like, you know, we look at our watches and we're like, maybe we could give the people something else. I don't know if we have to commit to that by any stretch of the imagination.
I think Mike is good either way, to be honest.
Like, Mike's going to be there.
Yeah.
Well, a man went on to Craigslist and was looking to rob someone. It was Julissa.
What song is this anyway?
It's Private Dancer.
Oh, Tina Turner.
Yeah. He doesn't really change the lyrics that much. Right.
He's doing stuff ripped from the headlines.
In Boston.
And at the time, this was the big
was
story.
Was in debt and destitute.
Yeah, it's not like a good story.
Robbed another in Rhode Island.
It's sort of the inappropriateness.
And tied up a prostitute.
It'd be a topic. That's kind of the
fun. He's the Craigslist killer. Killed her for money.
He
even tried to get away.
Man.
He's the Craigslist killer. Killed her for money. And in jail is where he will stay. He's the Craigslist killer. Killed her for money. He even tried to get away. He's the Craigslist killer.
And then it goes on and on and on.
I'm just saying, he ramped it up there for the second verse.
Yeah, and then you figured that he's got a little bit more passion behind it.
I see
the audience,
your point, but I just octuplets.
You know what, fellas? It's dealer's choice. You guys. Can...
Is this the original? Is that so? Should I invite him to come on stage no matter what?
No.
So only if the Bruins win, he's going to do octuplets?
Yeah, I think that's
yeah.
True.
Okay. You got to stay true to the.
Everywhere okay, so this is the original. Now we know
musical theater.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to ruin it. I the only song I know is it's the octoplets.
How the hell do people go and see people trying so hard to suck? Just musical theater is the absolute worst.
I'm a very single woman.
Yeah, all right. That's the octoplets one. Once again, ripped from the headlines. He's making songs about things that were going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the Craigslist killer thing is just kind of the facts, except for the money part.
So the Bruins win tomorrow night. Mike behind the mic's on stage.
Yeah, it's really not that big a deal, John. Yeah.
I'm excited for this. I want to see Mike
of
behind the mic.
Of all the things that we have to accomplish on Friday night, your attention is really on Mike behind
no,
the mic?
No, my attention is on the current segment
of
the program.
All the surprises and all the fun that Mike behind the mic is really the guy that you're...
No, that has nothing to do with it. My attention is on the current segment of the program and what we're discussing.
No. I'm not questioning your... I'm not... Whoa, you took that way too personally.
No, I'm not
questioning your dedication to this segment.
No, I never thought you were. You're asking where my head's at, and I understand there's a lot of stuff that the show is doing on Friday night, but we've been discussing Mike behind the mic.
See,
Callahan.
My feeling is I am so confident in the show that I don't know if it's necessary that Mike come out.
It was weird because, you know, I have this show list and the show sheet and everything kind of flows. And then I was trying to figure out a place where to jam
and it
Mike
just,
behind
and,
the mic.
And it's really a jamming in.
Which might make it great. So
okay, here's my thing. Is that it's great on the radio, but like in a theater, my instinct is to have the least amount of things go wrong. Like, because going wrong on the radio is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for 4 hours.
Sure.
There's going to be lapses. If you're playing to a room, now I feel confident of what we're doing. I mean, it's what we do on the air for a much larger audience than is going to be at the Wilbur every morning. Mm-hmm. But my feeling is that, like, those subtle mistakes and subtle awkwardness things aren't going to play to a drunk crowd of fans.
Oh, sure. Everything will.
Sure. I will catch you on the flip side.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm just talking about jamming him in. My, do I think it, do, ultimately, do I care? No.
Matsuzaka.
If I had my druthers, he would not perform.
I kind of got that.
But I do not care enough to make a fuss.
What were you saying, Dan? What's that guy's name?
Matsuzaka.
He of the gyro ball.
That's right. By the way, here's something that I just find fascinating. So I went to go look at, Bruins tickets for tomorrow night, And, you know, it looks like this is like what happened yesterday with when you looked at Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, you know, Ticketmaster, and it looks like there's a bunch of tickets, and you click on it, and there are a bunch, but they're all resale. Like, there's like a ton. How does that happen? Because, first of all, I'll give Ticketmaster credit about one thing, and that is that they've got a system set up to where if you can't go for most events, you're able to put them on the resale market, and then people can buy them through the website. That's actually a very cool feature. I've benefited from that before. But, I mean, come on. There's, like, thousands of tickets that are these resale ones. And I'm like, whose are these?
I don't know. And good luck trying to sell them for more than face.
Yeah, how does this happen where you can, like, somebody's buying up all of, it can't be all of these people legitimately wanted to go to the game. They were just like, I can't do it now.
I think it's maybe you take a flyer and you say, if I'm going to try to sell them for a lot of money and if people buy them, great. And if not, I'll go.
But that sucks. I mean, that part of it. And I know it's just the way it is, and I don't know how you stop it.
It's just because people, again, this isn't a team this particular year that people are very excited about.
But it's not just the Bruins. I'm using them as an example. This happens at a bunch of concerts and things like that, where all of these, like an enormous amount of resale tickets are out there.
I wonder if it's, companies buying them and then just trying to turn them
over.
There's
got to be some sort of way to get around
it. Because
that.
I've tried to sell Red Sox. I went to the game by myself like a total cool dude on Saturday, and I tried to sell my tickets for half price, and people wouldn't take them. So, and I'm not, and I think I have everything where I don't have to sell any more tickets this year. So you had your chance. Mm-hmm. There you go. Scare body leave.
Matsuzaka.
Dan's pontificating if it's Bergeron's last home game.
Oh.
So then you throw it out there for a ton of money, like Fred said, and if they don't...
I'd rather not see
they don't meet you, then you just go to the game.
That's more the reason Bergeron shouldn't retire. He should get a proper last game. Where they
will I talk about the Sox, but not the Yankees, because they suck?
This one must not have resonated, because I don't recall him making
that's
that
a B-side.
That's a B-side.
Is that the end of the movie with Dustin Hoffman and with her in the back?
Everybody's talking.
Everybody's talking at me. Is that his Harry? What's the guy's name?
I don't remember that.
There's got to be a reason.
In a mansion down in Pakistan, that's where the troops had found our man.
All right, this
some
is only going to get us
into
trouble.
Some bullet shot into his head, guaranteed that SOB was dead. In the head we shot Osama, all thanks to Obama. We will salute the troops, fighting for our right to be free.
You don't want him performing at the show, Fred? Why?
Now, there's one thing that I'm going to say. You do not f*** with the USA. Learn from this, and if you do, then we won't have to come kill you. In the head we shot Osama.
We're coming.
All
isn't that the spirit of America?
Obama. We will salute.
Maybe he should come dressed like
our right to be
festooned
free.
in the American flag, and come out as patriotic, Mike behind the Mike Callahan.
Why have we not talked that one up before?
Well, you best get in line, or we're gonna kill you. God bless the USA.
Oh my God, Mike. I can't believe we've had that this entire time. I don't think that's ever got a replay. And that might be my new favorite of his.
Well, that's unfair. That's just your recency bias.
That's right.
Cupcake.
Okay.
So many hits to choose from. I like how he gets so into the United States. His message is, watch your step or we'll kill you.
<That's right. laughs>
Graphic.
What song is that?
I don't I don't know. Do you have any 78 mile rotations per minute record player? That is something straight off the Dr. Demento shows. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the stack?
Oh,
why don't you want Mike playing? I don't know. It's odd.
Giving the people what they want.
Yeah. I mean, if they do, they do. Who am I to say? If you bought tickets, I only hope we can serve you.
Reach out to Fred. Add Fred Toucher. No, let him know what you think.
No, no. It's only going to serve to make me dig in harder.
All right. So in the stack, a gentleman does another really super dumb protest that doesn't really work. A person gets fired for the triple F and a Jim Irsay video to top all Jim Irsay videos.
All right. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
It is the stack on Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
I hope nobody ever takes the phone away from Jim Irsay. He is somebody that the more and more he puts out, the more I can't wait to meet this guy. I would love to hang out with Jim Irsay.
Russian and album called Grace Under Pressure.
An album title called Grace Under Pressure.
I mean, I know you're not a big fan of Pat McAfee, but that interview he did with him is the greatest.
No. I think Pat McAfee is a talented guy. I just think it's corny that he wears wife beaters and stands up the whole show. Like, I hate when radio dudes, like, even Opie did it for a while, like, and Stern does it now, like, where they put their feet up or, like, you know, like, act super cash.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, slap their arm over. Like, sure. Get out of here with that nonsense. You don't do that at home.
Well, I mean, remember Mankow used to do his whole show standing up?
Yeah, Mankow's a piece of garbage, an untalented piece of garbage that you could, was so outmatched whenever he tried to wade into the waters. I'm not saying Opie and Anthony weren't, I think they're incredibly, Anthony, incredibly talented. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just don't like that Opie, like, got to be, like, super casual guy. And Stern's very obviously the best, but it used to be. But the, you know, this whole, like, putting your feet up stuff is just bothers me. Just talking the microphone.
Well, he sat down with Jim Irsay, and it was actually very funny because Jim Irsay just, you know, he.
Who are you?
Yeah. he felt he was comfortable. He was in his happy place.
You remind me of the drummer of the Alice Cooper band.
I mean, you're not very far off as to how it sounded, but Jim Irsay continues to put videos up on his Instagram and his Twitter account that are really like no other owner. Including the one that he posted last night around 10:45, in which he is sitting, obviously, on his private plane, Fred. He's wearing sunglasses inside of his plane.
Because I'm high.
Okay, wait till you hear it. And behind him is a woman holding what looks like a clear bucket, and she's got some sort of stick that she is rubbing around it. Now, this is, I guess, some sort of...
I'm about to get my morning enema.
It looks like it.
It's a meditation bowl, I believe.
It is. I think it's sound therapy. I'm aware of that.
Around the inside. I'm aware of that.
All right. Absolutely. So here is, once again, Jim Irsay putting this out on his private plane for the world to notice as he's getting his sound therapy.
Myra is giving me some special mojo for this journey.
special spirits of sound. Awaken. Open your eyes.
All right, the thing to do during sound therapy, if you believe in it, is to speak. That's the number one thing.
Right. It's to not be engulfed in the moment.
Right. It's not to be completely focused on the sound and let it drown out all thought, which is the hope of meditation. The thing is to A, be filmed, and B, talk.
That's right.
That is what the Buddha ordered, as a matter of fact, if you read closely enough.
Don't live your life sleepwalking.
Yes.
Don't live your life sleepwalking.
Don't be a sleepwalker. Sound chew on ELO's greatest hits.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Now, excuse me while I meditate. So I'm meditating, guys. Like, I'm completely my consciousness is focused on the very moment.
Did Glenn Orway stand all the time, John? Somebody's saying that he did.
Yes. And the floor broke.
He did. So he did. He stood a lot.
He would do the whole show standing up?
Yes. Not the whole show, but yes. He stood for a lot.
Adam 12 is a big stander-upper. But then again, he's got to keep on his feet. He's got to play all those tunes.
Yeah, I guess standing up, if you're doing like smaller breaks, would be okay.
I don't know. It seems very spazzy to me. not Adam 12 is a great jock. It's just I don't know. More so is the kicking back and the just not sitting there. Just sit there in front of the microphone.
Be real, just that David Lee Roth stood.
David Lee Roth was doing flips and like pulling at himself and throwing his own feces.
Karate kicks. And
it was like seeing a gorilla at the zoo, David Lee Roth. He would like knock on the glass and throw a poo at you.
Well, this is an interesting twist. Dave Chappelle's Hollywood Bowl set is not going to be on Netflix. Even though it was the Netflix is a joke festival and probably the biggest place he was going to be performing, they did not record it for the Netflix
special. Did you see any of Pete Davidson's Netflix is a joke set?
I did. I saw the one where he said he had an AIDS scare, and he goes, because Kanye told me I had AIDS.
Yeah, you're really rooting for the kid.
And he said, well, this guy's a genius. He made the college dropout. Maybe I actually have AIDS.
Yeah. You find yourself on his side. He's entirely relatable. Is what the thing about Pete Davidson.
Do you know any people are coming out and saying that him getting the tattoo on his neck of Kanye's kids is crossing the line?
Like, well, I told you that I'd want to kill him.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of people now who are like, all right, man, that's where you went.
I'd want him dead. If you were dating my ex-wife, if I had an ex-wife, and you got my kids in any way, shape, or form tattooed on you, I would be an overstep that now, listen, what am I going to do about it? But it would be an overstep that I would wish great harm upon you. Like if I found out you died in a car wreck, I'd be like, great, good. I hope the tattoo burned off.
There's a great video, Fred. I don't know if you saw it. Do you know who James Cromwell is by any chance? He's the uncle. The old uncle, the brother of the main dude in Succession. He was in like the Babe movie. He was like the old farmer.
Yeah.
Okay. So he is somebody who is very into PETA. And yesterday, he had the police come because he went to a Starbucks. And in order to protest, he glued himself to the counter. Here's how it sounded.
Starbucks has admitted that cow's milk is the company's biggest contributor to its carbon footprint. And Starbucks agreed that vegan milks are a big part of the solution, but it still charges for them.
Okay, so basically he's yelling. And
Rush had an album called Grace Under Pressure.
Rush had an album title called Grace Under Pressure.
But when the cops showed up and they said, all right, you have to leave, he was like, okay, and just picked his hands up. Gluing yourself to things doesn't work.
No.
We've seen it at the NBA. There was that one woman who tried to glue herself to the floor. Oh, and then there was the follow-up. Do you remember that one woman who tried to run onto the court?
Got tackled.
And there was that guy who obviously was in on it. Not in on it, but he knew what was going on.
He was watching her.
Tackle her right immediately.
Do you have any bits that you've done that you regret?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
of course.
I have, I have a one I feel really bad about. We had the lady from PETA on, and she was whatever. And we said, we're going to kill this goldfish, or this stunt guy on my show, Fat Kid, is going to get his septum pierced. And the septum, not the skin in between your nose, the cartilage in between your nose. And we had a piercer there, and she goes, well, obviously, I would like the goldfish to live. And the sound that kid made when we pierced his septum.
Oh, my God.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. And I instantly felt terrible. And I still feel bad about that. Oh. But the I blame it on PETA.
It was their fault.
Yeah. Well, they got a bunch of hypocritical stuff. Hypocrite. They were a-hole of the month in 82 before you even knew them.
All right. That'll do it for us. Another day closer to the big show at the Wilbur. And then my mom comes to town.
The hits just keep on coming. Mm. All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.